Smiley Vaughan and Nathan Shared Productions present Icons in Jazz. Lionel Hampton, the Wizard on the Vibraphone. He was the leader of one of the most popular and enduring large jazz bands of all time. He has captivated world audiences with his rhythmic drive and exuberant showmanship. He was a pioneering force on the vibraphone and one of the first to integrate it into jazz. The band leader and vibraphonist Lionel Hampton. Former companion, tenor saxophone legend Johnny Griffin, got to the heart of Lionel Hampton's worldwide popularity and success.
Lionel Hampton, ladies and gentlemen!
Show business related with his potential of his band, which was really show business organized. Good music though, but show business to excite the people.
Lionel Leo Hampton was born on the 20th of April 1908 in Louisville, Kentucky. His father was a railroad worker who joined the U.S. Army in 1917 and was reported missing in France. Young Lionel was brought up by his grandmother, and in 1920 the large extended family joined the Great Migration from the South to Chicago and was guided and ruled by his uncle Richard Morgan, a partner of blues singer Bessie Smith and with bootleg connections to Al Capone, who helped Lionel in his early career. The 14-year-young Lionel Hampton started to play the drums with the Chicago Defender Newsboys Band. His idol became Jimmy Bertrand, who played washboard and drums with Louis Armstrong and others, and was also a noted instructor who played the xylophone occasionally and gave Hampton a few lessons. Before long, Hampton had joined a teenage band led by a neighbor, by saxophonist Les Hyde. The ever-growing demand for hot dance music brought them to California, but the job with Hyde did not turn out well, and Hampton was reduced to working in a drugstore for a while before he was hired by Paul Howard's Quality Serenaders, a rather genteel outfit that was fairly popular and got the opportunity to record some stuff in Paul Howard Quality Serenader in a recording from April 1929 with the then 20-year young Lionel Hampton playing the drums and even doing some scat singing there on Stuff, the title of this little ditty by a popular Afro-American territory band of the late 1920s. Lesser known and only a footnote in the history books of jazz, because unlike others, they stayed at the West Coast, where they didn't get much recording opportunities. When Les Haidt finally got his band back together, Hampton left the Serenaders to play more jazz, and immediately they had a stroke of luck. They were hired by club owner Frank Sebastian to play at his Cotton Club opposite the MGM Studios in Culver City. And it was there where they met up with Louis Armstrong early in the summer of 1930, who had arrived for a long engagement at the club, renaming the band his Sebastian New Cotton Club Orchestra. And one of the highlights of their performance was Lionel Hampton on the drums and his ability to do stunts with multiple pairs of sticks, such as trilling and juggling without missing a beat. They soon were the talk of the town and began recording for the OK label. At one of these sessions, Armstrong spotted a vibraphone parked in a corner of the studio. "What's this?" he asked. Hampton told him. "Can you play it?" Hampton said he could. "Pull it out in the middle of the floor and play something on it." And then Hampton played part of an Armstrong solo that he had learned note for note. The trumpeter was so impressed that he got Hampton to play the new instrument on the next song to be recorded. And the rest, as they say, is history.
When I first recorded this next number in 1930, our drummer was a 17-year-old boy who played his first vibraphone solo on our version of this tune, written by Yubi Blake with lyrics by Andy Razoff. The 17-year-old boy was Lionel Hampton, and the tune, Memories of You.
Honey, here and there, everywhere, scenes that we once knew, oh, and they're all just recall. Memories of you, baby. How I wish I could forget those happy yesteryears that have left a rosary of tears. Rosary of tears, baby, oh no. Your face beams in my dreams. In spite of all I do, oh baby, everything seems to ring. Memories of you.
Memories of You, a popular song about nostalgia, written by ragtime pianist Hubie Blake, published in 1930 with lyrics edited by Andy Rassaf, giving to Louis Armstrong, who recorded it with his Sebastian New Cotton Club Orchestra in the same year during this history-making session, featuring Lionel Hampton in his first known use of the vibraphone in popular music, followed by a few other tracks made during that particular session in Los Angeles on the 16th of October 1930. During his stay in California, Hampton had met Gladys Neal, who was to become his wife, manager, and guiding light until the end of his very fruitful and colorful career and life. And it was Gladys who persuaded Hampton in autumn 1930 that time was right for him to become a band leader in his own right. Although she became known as a dynamic organizer and a most efficient manager and businesswoman, in 1930 it was impossible for an Afro-American woman to deal with agents and bookers, and the first Lionel Hampton Orchestra collapsed. But they didn't give up, and Hampton took a small band into a rather down-market place called the Red Car Club in Los Angeles, where he really worked on the vibraphone to develop his unique style. Before long, word got around and the club was full every night. The owner smartened up the place, changed its name to the Paradise Club, and Hampton was soon a celebrity on the West Coast music scene, recalling the moment when the King of Swing dropped into the club. "I played in a small club in Los Angeles with a small but a very good band, and one night I suddenly heard someone playing the clarinet beside me, and I thought, who is that? I turned around and I saw Benny Goodman." The following night he was back with pianist Teddy Wilson and drummer Gene Krupa for another historic moment in jazz, when the legendary Benny Goodman Quartet took shape. Mm-hmm. Having a number one hit with the Moonglow in 1934 with an earlier recording featuring his orchestra, Benny Goodman decided to record the song again in a different environment, featuring his newly formed quartet after he had invited Lionel Hampton to join his trio for a recording session that took place on the 21st of August 1936. As I said earlier, Goodman had met and jammed with Hampton during a few inspiring nights at the Paradise Club and was hugely impressed by the vibraphonist. And in October 1936, Lionel Hampton joined Goodman permanently, turning the trio into a quartet and turning the jazz world upside down. 3.5 years with Benny Goodman turned Lionel Hampton into a star. With Hampton always gave the band leader credit for facing up to racial prejudice and featuring him and Teddy Wilson at a time when racial mixed bands were virtually unknown. The legendary Benny Goodman Quartet there with Lionel Hampton, Teddy Wilson and Gene Krupa swinging through I've Got a Heart Full of Music, a clip from the 1937 film Hollywood Hotel, available on YouTube and taken from the compilation album Hot Jazz on Film Volume 1. And on this film clip you can also admire Hampton's extraordinary skills, showmanship and enthusiasm, which even caused Benny Goodman to smile. Lionel Hampton became a star of the quartet, appeared in films at the famous 1938 Carnegie Hall concert and nightly on radio. From 1937 onwards, he started to record as a leader with special ensemble all-star groups that formed the Who is Who of Swing. With his former boss's help, Hampton finally formed his first big band in 1940, and Goodman generously allowed his leaving star to record one of his compositions, which immediately became a hit for the newly formed Lionel Hampton Orchestra. Thank you. The first incarnation of the legendary Lionel Hampton Orchestra in full swing there with their big band take of the Benny Goodman Jump Blues composition Flying Home, originally recorded by the clarinetist with his quintet, including Hampton and guitarist Charlie Christian, recorded in 1939. But here it was in a big setting and arrangement with an epic length tenor solo by a 19-year young Illinois Jacket that caused quite a stir in the dance halls of the swing era. The song became the climax for live shows, with Jacket expected to repeat his famous solo note by note, now considered as one of the first R&B solos. During the remainder of the decade, Hampton's extroverted orchestra was a big favorite, leaning towards R&B. And while Goodman's stars seemed to fade, Hampton's light was beaming and his raging orchestra conquered the stages of the country. It was a presentation perfectly adapted to the Afro-American popular audiences of that time, and it brought Hampton a mass following. Hampton's showmanship and the wild tenor sax solos became some of the band's trademarks. A series of players from Illinois Jacket to Arnett Kopp, from Eddie Chambly to Johnny Griffin, nightly brought the crowd to the brink of riot with their honking, rasping, shrieking performances, with Hampton leaping around the stage, juggling his drumsticks, jumping on drums, and singing Hey Baba Rebop.
If you can't say rebop, keep your big mouth shut. Hey, Bob, rebop.
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 Yes, your baby knows. Mama's on the chair, Papa's on the cot, baby's on the floor blowing his natural top, singing hey, Bob, rebop.
Hey, Bob, rebop.
Hey.
Singing hey, Bob Rebop. Yes, oh baby.
R&B cracker, they're a classic now, and for arranger Quincy Jones, a testimony that Lionel Hampton was an early rock and roller by heart. Although the writing of Hey Baba Ree Bop was credited to Hampton and his drummer Curly Hamner, it was essentially a partial rewriting of Helen Hume's 1945 R&B hit Bee Baba Liba. But there were several similar tunes around at that time that expressed this new hip language of R&B. This cracker waxed down in January 1946 with Hampton on lead vocals and Herbie Fields on the alto saxophone. The song went straight to number one on the jukebox chart and stayed there for 16 weeks. During those years, Hampton nurtured many talents and his orchestra was filled with a who is who in jazz and was the springboard for many young artists. His astuteness in picking just the right people to fit his approach was proved on many occasions, and he recorded with them in big and in small group settings. In 1943, for instance, he took on an unknown 19-year-old Ruth Jones as his vocalist. He changed her name to Dinah Washington and helped her to become an international star. Written by the British jazz journalist Leonard Feathers, especially for Dinah Washington, who recorded the original version of the Blowtop Blues with Lionel Hampton and his septet in 1945. After her discovery by the band leader, she spent some time singing in front of his orchestra before she left for a solo career in 1946. In the early mid and 1940s, the Lionel Hampton Orchestra was flying high and was a talk of every town or city they passed through. And this success was based on the very fruitful and fortunate relationship and collaboration of Lionel and his wife Gladys, expressed in the words of the musicians in the orchestra. Lionel pushes the band, Gladys the business. And indeed, after Gladys married Lionel Hampton, she became his manager and the driving force behind his career, steering the orchestra and the organization most successfully through the years as one of the first Afro-American businesswomen, admired by many as a dynamic organizer and most efficient manager, admired by an up-and-coming young singer with the name of Betty Carter, who joined the Lionel Hampton Orchestra in 1948.
Cobb's idea.
In 1950, Lionel Hampton Orchestra in full swing there with a then 20-year young Betty Carter up front, showcasing her talent as the most impressive scat singer during the performance of Cobb's Idea, written by tenor ace Arnett Cobb, a member of the orchestra for many years. Betty Carter had joined Hampton in 1948, and it was there where she had her big break with the help of Hampton and his wife Gladys, who gave her the nickname Betty Bebop and who inspired the singer to become a fiercely independent woman in her own right. For Betty Carter, Gladys Hampton was the first role model of female independency and self-determination. At the dawn of the 1950s, the Lionel Hampton Orchestra conquered Europe, where it was celebrated euphorically, causing riots in London, Paris, and Berlin. The audiences loved every minute of his performance and the leader's showmanship, although younger musicians sometimes found Hamp's style and appearance hard to take. Quincy Jones was with him as a young trumpeter in the early 1950s and still cringes when he recalls the Tyrolean-style suits and hats he had to wear. But despite the drill, uniformation, and showmanship, the orchestra included some of the best young talents in jazz. People like Clifford Brown, Gigi Grice, Art Farmer, Quincy Jones, and many others. Hampton continued to record with the orchestra and in small group setting, reuniting with Benny Goodman on a few occasions, and every once in a while he even drifted out of his familiar stomping ground.
We'll be right back.
Possibly one of the strangest sound made by Lionel Hampton's orchestra, which resulted in a quite interesting output. On a stopover in Madrid during a 6 month European tour in 1956, Hampton went into the studio to record the album Jazz Flamenco, featuring his full 17-piece orchestra plus several Spanish percussionists, among them the local castanet player Maria Angelica, who gave the session an unexpected peppery flavor. 6 of the 10 tracks were written by Hampton, the arrangements probably the work of Bobby Plater, and there you got a little ditty entitled The Bullfighter from Madrid. Hemp's was the first band to tour Spain after the Second World War, and they performed in a bullring to a roaring, rocking audience of 19,000. Hampton played the familiar strain of the famed Toreado theme in swing tempo, and the crowd went wild. Wherever the Lionel Hampton Orchestra performed during their 6 month European tour, they caused quite a stir. They swept from one bright light big city to another and sent Europe into party mood. But there was the other side of Lionel Hampton out there, only recognized by the devoted jazz fan. There was the virtuosic master vibraphonist Lionel Hampton, who in between his showmanship escapades as a leader exhibited his absolutely masterful playing within a few intimate small group settings, for instance in the company of Art Tatum and Buddy Rich. Thank you. The masterful interplay of three extraordinary jazz giants there, the virtuosic interplay of vibraphonist Lionel Hampton, pianist Art Tatum, and drummer Buddy Rich, gliding through the Vinton Yeoman's sleek Robin Clifford Gray Chestnut Hallelujah, put into the can in August 1955 and released on Norman Grant's Clef record label. Despite the busy touring and recording schedule with his orchestra, Hemp appeared and recorded with many all-star groups during the 1950s, including the Tatum, Rich Sessions, as well as meeting with Oscar Peterson, Stan Getz, Buddy DeFranco, and a reunion with Benny Goodman. But since the 1950s, Hampton mostly repeated his triumph, playing his biggest hits over and over again. However, his enthusiasm was still the same, still caused excitement, and he remained a household name within the international jazz community, where the young generation of punters found their excitement in a musical wave called rock and roll. During the 1960s and with the rise of rock music, Hampton's groups were in decline, but he never gave up and was still performing what has succeeded for him earlier in his career. Lionel Hampton remained an institution all through the decades, launched his own jazz festival, and toured the world as a true ambassador of his beloved music called jazz. 1991, shortly before his first stroke, nine elderly gentlemen with an average age of 72 entered the stage of the New York Blue Note Club and played the music they loved, played just jazz, as Lionel Hampton and the Golden Man of Jazz. Please lean back and enjoy.
All right, jazz lovers. The Blue Note takes great pride in presenting the leader of this once-in-a-lifetime event, that legendary jazz ambassador of goodwill, the Vibes President of the United States, Mr. Lionel Hampton and his Golden Men of Jazz.
Just Jazz, a composition written by Al Gray and performed here by Lionel Hampton and the Golden Man of Jazz, consisting of Harry Sweets Edison, Clark Terry, Hank Jones, Buddy Tate, Al Gray, Grady Tate, Milt Hinton, James Moody, and of course, Lionel Hampton, who brought this illustrious gang of elderly jazz giants into New York's Blue Note Club. Their performance released by the Telluck label in 1992. A stroke during a concert in Paris in 1991 forced Hampton to cut back dramatically, but he still remained active as an ambassador of goodwill and the vibe president of jazz. He was deeply involved in the construction of various public housing projects in Harlem and Newark, New Jersey, and supported Afro-American neighborhoods in New York City. Lionel Hampton died on the 31st of August 2002 at the proud age of 94, and with him a swing machine with heart and soul as big as the world. Thank you.